You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Welcome into the Swarmcast here on the ESPN Houston YouTube channel and ESPN 97.5. Joe George, Will Kunkel here with you talking all things Houston Texans. Today's show is brought to you by Blue Star Tequila, the world's first and only night harvested tequila. You can find it near you at bluestartequila.com. Now, typically, we were drinking this tequila and we're like, oh, gotta get through these games because they stink. But the Texans are good again.
It was a coping mechanism, not a celebration.
Not anymore. It's a celebration tequila because the Houston Texans beat the Indianapolis Colts. They're firmly in the playoff race at this point. Massive game coming up with the Kansas City Chiefs. There's a ton to get to, honestly, on the show today. Now, we were off last week, Will, because of the Thanksgiving week. So we haven't done a show together in 2 weeks now. I miss you too.
Thank you.
And I miss talking about the Texans for the first time this year because they're good. If they lose this week, I'm about to cancel the podcast. No, but how are you feeling right now about this team? We saw CJ Stroud's return. The defense has been incredible. But let's start with CJ. What did you make of him and his return this last week?
Rusty and definitely better than Davis Mills. Like, can we put it to rest, people? I know a lot of viewers on Swarmcast probably don't have the feeling that Davis Mills was the answer because you guys are smart. You guys are good football fans. That's why you come here to the Swarmcast. But he was rusty to start. Still had a very good opening drive. Mm-hmm. The interception was just a bad throw. I don't even know if it was a right read, to be honest. Xavier was kind of covered. But nonetheless, whatever. The offense better with CJ, and it was apparent. Mm-hmm. And I thought he probably played about a B.
Yeah, I think I gave him a B-plus in the game. I was surprised by some of the grades. I saw, so I was well written, obviously, because I think Jonathan Alexander is great, but he gave him a C in the game.
Okay.
I was a little surprised that it was that low from him, but it wasn't perfect. But I think for the first game back, coming off the concussion, being out for 3 games,
missed a month
of football. I thought he was good in this game, and I think we saw some of how just having him back, like the relationship with him and Nico was better in this game. And I feel like that's one of the things I was hoping for was, okay, Davis really relied on Nico Collins. I hope CJ relies on him more. Jaden Higgins was good with CJ. Dalton Schultz continues to have a really good season with CJ Stroud. So I thought it was largely positive. The interception was awful. The near interception where he had to start taking off because he didn't see the defender was a bad throw. The one sack he took in the red zone that led to a field goal where he just kept drifting backwards were bad. But outside those three plays, it was good really throughout this entire game. The criticisms I would have of this offense that we'll get into, because they haven't really changed, weren't necessarily CJ's fault, I felt like, in this game.
We've been consistent on the fact that the offense's problems, man, I've been talking all day filling in for Dell on the show. My gosh, on an ESPN radio, voice is going. It's always been bigger than a position problem. It's been the unit of the offensive line. It's been Nick Cayley. It's been the play calling. It's been the play schemes. Like, I thought this was the most well-rounded game they've played all year. I don't count the Ravens game because it was such, the opponent was so demolished with injuries that it's like you should kind of throw that away. This was their best win of the year against the best team they played all year on the road in a massive situation for the AFC South. Like, this was the best. Now, there are things that we have we saw the issues rear their head with Nick Cayley, but fewer times.
Yes.
And not in the biggest moment, but in a big moment, nonetheless, right before halftime.
Yes. And we can get into that as well, because I think there's really two game management decisions you have to go through in this last game. But just it was positive for CJ. Now, from a big picture perspective first, before we really go into some of the nuts and bolts of this game and then look ahead to Kansas City, the Texans now sit as the 8th seed at the moment in the playoffs. They're 7-5. They're a game back of the Colts. They're a game back of Jacksonville, and they split that season series already.
That's going to be the moment.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe we lost that game.
I think so too. Like, I think that's the one game of the first three games of the season that you really, really, really want back at this point. Because now I think the Texans, my expectations for them now are to make the playoffs. It's the best defense in the NFL. It's not particularly close. They really have not had any of these meltdown games. Like, we saw the Rams had moved in front of the Texans in terms of points per game. And then some of that's Matt Stafford's fault, but they get worked by the Panthers. And a shocking game over the weekend, honestly.
Is there a more bipolar team in all of sports than the Panthers?
No. They're number one because they're beating really good teams and then they lose to the Saints. Like, I'm picking the Saints this weekend straight up to beat them again after the Panthers beat the Rams. So the Texans have proven they have the best defense in the NFL. The offense has been slowly improving. I think most importantly, your offensive line feels set in stone if healthy. It is the best group they can find. It's kind of crazy to me how long it took them to find it.
What week are we in?
12.
And now you just cut Laken Tomlinson, who started 7 games for you, rotated at left guard, and then at some point didn't start when there were other injuries, but then you realized that was not who you wanted to start. You wanted to start Jarrett Patterson when other spots were injured, and now you cut him. Like,
it's weird.
The evaluation process is flawed, to say the least.
But they found it, and that's a positive.
We're here.
They found it.
Boy, did we take a screwy route.
It's the Texans season now. It feels very different because you got the Chiefs, who are 3.5-point underdogs. It's a winnable football game. The Chiefs have been another one of those bipolar teams this year that's been really a full-on roller coaster. They're winning big games. They're losing big games. They're having good performances, bad performances. But then you play the Cardinals, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Colts. I think the Houston Texans are going to be in the playoffs. Well, I think the Houston Texans are going to win the division.
I actually don't think they're going to, only because they have to win 4 of the last 5 games to probably do it. Jaguars, Colts play twice.
Mm-hmm.
I chalk that up to a split. Mm-hmm. If it's a sweep, whoever sweeps is winning the division.
That's fair.
So you chalk it up to a sweep. The Jaguars then play the Jets, and then they play the Titans to end the season.
Yeah, the Jaguars' remaining schedule is the Colts this weekend.
So let's give them a win there. That's 9 wins.
Yep.
Jets, 10 wins.
Yep. Broncos.
Loss.
Colts. Loss. Titans.
Titans. That's 11 wins.
So it's 11 wins.
So I'm giving the Jaguars 11 wins. In order for the Texans to get 11 wins, they have to win 4 of their last 5, 8 of their last 9, 8 of their last 10.
Okay, so
8 of their last 9.
I agree with you in theory. It's Jacksonville.
You just can't. See that? Okay. That's
Jacksonville.
That's a wild position to take, albeit maybe not wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
Trevor Lawrence still stinks.
But you're a Bears fan.
I know.
And they're the number one seed in the NFC.
I know.
But it's the Bears.
I know.
But reality is,
I know,
they are where they are. They are, like, they're winning.
Yeah. And now,
like, how long does, I had this conversation with myself on the radio this morning.
Yeah.
How long does it take us to overcome our own biases and what we think versus what a team is? It's like we're doing it with the Chiefs right now, with the Texans. Oh, yeah, Chiefs magic. Yeah, but they're 6-6. Yeah, but this is crazy. It's the Chiefs magic. Okay, but they're also 6-6.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's just Trevor Lawrence hasn't been good enough to wash it away.
I don't disagree.
To say they're going to get to 11, they're going to get to 10. For sure.
Who are they losing to that I'm giving them wins?
The Titans?
There's no way they lose. The Titans suck.
I know. They're awful.
But to your point, the Jaguars are winning a lot of games by relying on playing overall very not good football, but winning the turnover battle significantly.
100%.
And that's a really tough way to win games throughout the course of the year. So now maybe, now we've also played a lot of football and it's bared fruit, but maybe this is the stretch where they regress because they're not playing. But they also played, look what they did against the Titans. They beat their ass.
Okay, they did against the Chargers.
And the Texans couldn't do that in any either game.
Yeah.
I mean, they did it in one quarter in the first game here in Houston.
Yeah, I think the best path for the Texans to win the division is the Colts have to sweep the Jags. Because the Colts' schedule is
and then lose
is brutal. I mean, the Colts play Jags, Seahawks, Niners, Jags, Texans. So like,
so that means that they get 10 wins?
They get 10 wins. So I've got, basically I'm saying you got a three-way tie at the top of the division for 10 wins each. Texans are in front of the Jacksonville, are in front of the Colts because they've got two wins, and then it's a tiebreaker versus Jacksonville. Like, that to me is the best, most likely path. But I think, but for the Texans to do that, to get the Colts to 10 wins, they have to be at 11 wins. Because they're
going
to
be, would own the tiebreaker.
Because they're
going
to beat, because I think they're going to beat the Cardinals and the Raiders. That puts you at eight wins this year, right? And then, sorry, that puts you at 9 wins. And all you have to do is win one of the other games on your schedule this season between
if
the Chiefs,
the Colts,
the Chargers,
sweep the Jaguars.
And the Colts. If the Colts sweep the
and
Jaguars.
And lose every other game.
Yeah, and lose every other game, which I think they will. I think they will lose to the 49ers. I think they will lose to the Seahawks. I think they are total frauds. I do not believe in the Colts.
I don't think they're total frauds. I think they're a good football team. I think they now have a quarterback with a broken leg.
Yeah, and I think he's a fraud, frankly. Like,
I don't know. He
had 7 turnovers in 2 games like 3 weeks ago. I'm not a believer, and now he has a broken leg, and he's a tough son of a gun. I give him so much credit for sure playing for that. I mean, there's one sack in this game where, like, as he's coming down, you see his fractured leg, like, fly up into the air because he's protecting himself in the moment. Like, you can tell he's like, oh, don't let that happen. And so I give Daniel Jones a ton of credit. But, yeah, I think the Texans find a way. To me, they can go 4-1. In their last 5 games.
Yeah, I think they can too. My worry isn't the Colts, it's the Jaguars because their schedule is so much easier.
Yeah, which is crazy to think. Like, and it's your point, like, you might look back at that for.
Hold on. You think the Colts are total frauds and sweep the Jaguars?
Yeah, because I don't like Trevor Lawrence.
So they're more fraudy.
They're more fraudy.
So you're just betting on.
And the fraud
the
scale.
Fraudulence.
And the fraud scale, it goes Jags, Colts, Texans. And the fraud scale and the division.
Yeah, see, I think the Colts, if they get DeForest Buckner back, by the way, that changes everything.
It does help them a lot.
Daniel Jones, I'm not saying that he's good. I genuinely am not. I think he's better than a fraud and sucks, but with a broken leg, he's not going to be very good. I mean, he's got a broken leg, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It also just feels unrealistic.
And you have Jonathan Taylor. All you got to do is win a game with Jonathan Taylor only, and you can do that. Like, that's that guy. And their offensive line is good enough, and Shane Steichen's good enough to put guys in places to just get open and win a game.
Yeah. I also would say, like, it does feel unrealistic at this point in the season, watching Daniel Jones in this game, to honestly think he's going to make it through the end of the season.
Yeah, no, I think that's like, the better point. I think maybe
he
just
does.
And if you have Anthony Richardson out there.
Nope. It's not him.
I love that. I love him out there.
It won't be him.
They're
saying his.
Terrible.
Like, people have seen him and the facility.
Sucks. Oh, he's so bad.
And his eye is still not good. But his fracture.
From when he hurt himself pregame?
Yeah, his fractured orbital bone is still, like, not.
That's sad.
So you know who it means?
Who is Gardner? Who is it? Oh, you don't. Who is it?
Notre Dame legend, Riley Leonard.
Riley, the Duke product.
Yes. Yes.
I thought he was going to be better for you guys.
Me too. But Riley Leonard might end up being the Colts quarterback at some point this season. It's just reality. Like,
that's better than what the Vikings rolled out there.
It's hobbled Daniel Jones, Riley Leonard, or Anthony Richardson, I think they finished 3rd in the division. If they don't beat Jacksonville twice. And again, I think they can, but it's just, if Daniel Jones, like, if this gets worse, they're in a bad spot. But the Texans season's alive, but also the wild cards, really, it's in play.
That's why this Chiefs game's huge and the Chargers game's huge in that realm.
Yes, like this weekend is massive. It's not the final nail in the coffin for the Kansas City Chiefs if they lose this game.
But it's
pretty close.
They're on borrowed time.
If they're 6-7 going into next week, and you've got the Steelers, the Texans, the Bills, the Colts, the Chargers, all with 4 or 5 losses, and Pittsburgh with 6, the Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs this year. This game is massive. It quiets demons for Texans fans. It ends an era for the NFL, potentially. Like, the Chiefs overnight are where, to me, the Astros are. They are in this dominant run, and it seems to have shut the door. But can you be the team that shuts it? That's the ultimate question on Sunday Night Football.
Can you be the team that shuts it that's historically had problems with that team in recent memory? Which every team kind of has had problems with the Chiefs because they've been that good. But can you do it with the Texans? Yeah, and I love – do you want to get into this matchup now?
Yeah, let's go for it.
I love this matchup from a football standpoint on paper. I think this is a good matchup. I don't think the Chiefs are wildly better than the Texans. It's kind of the same feeling I had, honestly, with the Bills and the – who was right before the Bills? They were a good team. Why am I blanking?
Well, Titans?
No, who did the Texans play?
Jags.
No, that's who they played before. No, they didn't they,
the Bills this year?
No, who did the Texans play before the Bills? They beat. Who did we just beat? I'm sorry. No, okay.
Oh, you're thinking reverse order.
Colts. Yeah. Same feeling I had with the Colts and the Bills. Two very good teams, but great matchup for the Texans. I liked the matchup. I didn't love going to Indianapolis, but now they broke that serve. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. This, I also like the matchup. I hate the situation for Houston. I hate it. So, for instance, if this game was in Houston with our fans in the dome, like, yo, let's go. Love this. I love this. It was the same thing with the Bills. That was a hornet's nest that the Bills came into on Thursday night. Place was absolutely juiced. It was so loud. The offensive line for the Bills couldn't hear anything. They got beat for 8 sacks. Going into Arrowhead on Sunday Night Football with 20-degree weather while the Chiefs have to win to keep their playoff hopes alive, while I like the matchup and maybe that will rue the day, I hate this situation for the Texans. Like, I hate it.
Yeah. They're saying it looks like 24 degrees around kickoff. No chance of precipitation, so there's not going to be snow.
Until there
is. Something changes this weekend, which is obviously very possible. But it's going to be cold. Like, it's going to be a big difference. Like, you need your running game to perform well this weekend with Woody Marks and Nick Chubb. Like, you're going to have to be able to run the ball very well. One thing I like about it, just it's like, now it is funny, you go back through, I remember why I did this. I think I did this last year for the playoffs. I went through CJ's November games at Ohio State. Somehow he seemed to play in like the best weather Ohio State, Michigan State have ever had in those times, because like he hadn't played in like the most dramatic cold games, but he's got cold games still on his record, right? Where he has played in that before with being at Ohio State. That does, I think, for at least from the quarterback perspective, it does help him a little bit. Like, you've got Ohio State quarterback, a number one Michigan wide receiver. Like, you've got guys who've played in the cold before. I know it hasn't been recent, but they've done it in
they
the cold.
They did last year. They played in the playoffs last year. I think it they played cold. Fine in that game against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Obviously, their officials, obviously, whatever the reason was they lost, The Chiefs were, I think, a better team overall, and they did what – the Chiefs didn't beat themselves. They've got enough. I don't think the cold's going to wildly bother them, but it's just one of those things you got to deal with, and you're not used to dealing with it. Doesn't mean you can't overcome it, and it's an issue. Yes, they'd like to run the ball well. My three keys to the game are penalties. The Chiefs and Texans both have 86 penalties on the season. The Texans can't overcome the penalties consistently. They got to stop beating themselves pre-snap. Win the turnover battle, which you always want to do, but you got to play complementary football for your Texans. You can't rely on your defense to go out and just crush the Chiefs. Just this time of year in this situation, it's not going to work. You got to play three phases, and then you just want your offense to pitch in some touchdowns. Like, I don't care if you run it or pass it. I don't really give a damn. Just move that rock.
Yeah, I think to me, like, I think of the number, and even though the Chiefs' offense hasn't been explosive this year, I think you still have to put 24 points up at least on the board, at minimum.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, what do you think? Is it feasible?
I mean, I was pleased with two of the red zone trips, I would say. I mean, the toss sweep for a touchdown was good. The reverse for a touchdown. I think they're having...
Okay, pause.
Yes.
Reverse or end around? Because there was no reverse. Reverse yeah, I guess is when around. You reverse.
Yeah, I guess it's end around. Yeah, end around. Eh, same thing. Everyone knows what.
But not.
But you're right. End around. Fair.
Why? There's good a call. Reverse.
Good call. Good call there. So an end around touchdown.
JJ Watt was wrong too on the broadcast. By the way,
the sweep touchdown. I mean, they need JJ. They're 3-0 when JJ does the games.
Yeah.
But that's not the first time they've had success running to the outside in the red zone this year. Happened again, I think, like 2 weeks ago. They ran a sweep with to Woody Marks in the end zone, in the red zone for a touchdown. They have better chance outside than they do inside.
Always, which is why I hate the tush push twice in a row, because they don't move the pile well interiorly.
Okay, so I want to agree, but he got the first down on the first one. They just didn't call it.
Yeah, well, but you didn't get it the second time.
I know. But they got it the two times before that.
I'm not saying they never will have success, but to do something twice at something you don't generally have success at, I don't like the call. I also don't – I love going for it overall. I like the aggressiveness. If you – the argument to, is if you go for it, like, okay, we'll rely on our defense. It's the best defense. Can't you kick the field goal and also rely on your defense, but give that defense the safety net of overtime?
I think kicking the field goal would have been the right decision there. I think if you – if talk about Sunday's game, if you are in that exact same position, it's 2016, you go fourth and one, you're facing Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. 100, exactly.
I think you kicked the field goal.
Oh, you think – in Kansas City?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say the opposite.
So you think they go for it to keep Mahomes off the field?
Right. I think you have to keep Mahomes off the field. I think you have to get touchdowns to win games against someone like the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Versus like – so for instance, this – and I try to remain intellectually honest about this, that it's not all the same. The situation matters. So when they're in Tennessee and they miss the field goal, but they get second life because of the penalty and they move the ball and then they can't score the touchdown and then they get sacked, I think they should have taken the points against the Titans in that situation from the 4-yard line, because you're going up against a bad offense in the Titans and you need to just take the points, move on, get the hell out of there and escape with the points.
Yeah.
The Colts' first drive, I like them. I could see them going for it because you're going against the number one offense in the NFL.
Yeah.
But maybe you need touchdowns to win this game. So same thing with the Chiefs. Touchdown, you might have to have touchdowns to win the game. You might have to be that little extra aggressive to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field.
That's fair, because if you give Mahomes that much time, like, he's going to probably score. Even though your defense is incredible, he's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He comes through in the clutch time and time again. It doesn't matter how bad of a day they're having offensively. If you do give Patrick Mahomes the ball in that situation, he's probably going to take it down. But you have to trust your defense at the same time. Like, and my biggest thing with D'Amico and Nick Haley, but it's D'Amico, is I feel like he just doesn't know quite who he wants to be as a coach in terms of his aggressiveness. And I think he relies on his gut, which I think makes a lot of sense. Like, I would rather you trust your gut than just trust the numbers.
For sure. Because the numbers don't bring in so much stuff.
Yes. But I don't know if I like his gut. I like that he's trusting it versus just trusting the nerdy analytics that I think are wrong a lot of times, honestly, because there's a reason why people don't follow them. Like, they can say on every single broadcast, well, the analytics say this, and then the team does the opposite. It's like, there's also a reason why everyone does the opposite of what the analytics say at times, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't factor in feel of a game. Like, you have a quarterback who can't walk, basically, against you this weekend. So, like, it does make sense to go for it because they can't really move the ball. And if you can stop Jonathan Taylor like you had done for the most part, you're fine. So I think he trusts his gut. I just don't think he's – I don't know if he trusts himself enough.
There's two parts to this, right? So trust your gut, fine. But now that you're trusting your gut and you've taken the path to go be aggressive, do you make the right call on the aggressive path? Like, are you making the – because now you got – now you got two paths, right? You want to go for it or not go for it. You go for it, fine. But now there's 10 paths on how you want to achieve that first down. Do you pick the right path and the right play call?
Mm.
Usually, I like the idea of shortest point, move the pile, let's go. But they've proven that that's not their mode of success.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they did gain it on third down. They didn't get it, whatever. But they've proven that, like, it's a tough thing for them to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
They've shown that time and time again. I don't like the idea of running a toss. I cross that off. I don't like the idea of going way outside. Or, you know, maybe like a fake toss, fullback dive, something like that maybe. You know, I don't know. The point is, I like being aggressive, but I don't like the path that he chose on how to get there, because you've proven that your interior guards and centers aren't the guys to move piles.
Yeah, they're better this year, the offensive line for sure, but they're still – that's where they need to improve the most. Like, as good as Eddie Ingram has been this year and Jake Andrews and these guys, they're not moving bodies in the way they need to.
Not consistently, right? Like, not to be like, hey, we know that this moment they're going to. They could do it here and there, But and they've done it better at points and other points.
Yeah, but in the big moment, they don't do it.
They're right. It's not all reliable. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, whether it's first and one on the goal line or fourth and one on the 30, they're not moving the bodies the way they need to get those first downs.
I like it better than British Brooks.
Yes, I do too.
You know, I like the tush push better than some of the other options we've seen.
Yeah, I like the tush push for a couple reasons. One, like it did work the first two times you ran it. I think it worked the third time. So like you can say it worked 3 out of 4 times or 2 out of 4. 50% is still better than what you were doing before.
That's true.
So I like it in that way.
That's true.
I like it that it protects your quarterback. Like I like that they're doing it and they're not having CJ run it.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. I'm curious if they keep it.
I think they should.
I think they're going to.
I think it's good in the right times, and I think it's beneficial to have in your pocket, like for sure. I think whoever squats the most on the team, that's your guy.
Yeah, and it might be Cade Stover.
That's your guy.
We, on Jeremy and Joe, we put out a Twitter poll.
Yeah.
And we've got a bunch of options from different people, and the vote was for the Stover Dozer.
Oh.
So we've claimed it, the Stover Dozer.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else would be with like Cade. Stover Dozer's pretty good though.
I'll see. Yeah, there was because people wanted to try to rhyme it, but it wasn't really rhyming. So I'll see if I can find.
It has to be alliteration or rhyming, otherwise.
Yes. God, Jeremy Branham tweets so much. I'm trying to find this tweet from just a day and a half ago to go through these.
And it's all half of it's back.
He's got
and forth
6 million tweets. Here we go. Okay, we had the Cade Brigade.
No,
that's Stover Dozer.
Cade Brigade is like a whole. It's like a gaggle of people.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, but you got a gaggle of people in front of them.
I see what you're saying.
Okay. Stover time?
No.
And then there was, this one's a little longer. Red Rover, send Cade Stover right over.
Funny, but I'm not saying it.
It's too much.
Every time.
Yes. So it's funny. So we said it's the Stover Dozer, but you say Red Rover, send Cade Stover right over as the play is running. Just to yourself, you yell at your TV.
Okay.
And you try to get the bar to
like
sing
Stover
it with you.
I like Stover Dozer. I like. Yeah. Like Stovetop.
Stovetop's good. I didn't think of that. That's a solid one. But we locked in. The poll's done. We're not reopening for discussion. So.
That's a bummer.
That's at least what we're gonna call it.
That's good.
But I think they can get a win on Sunday night. I'm not gonna guarantee it or anything like that.
I like the +3.5.
I like the +3.5 too.
Because I think it opens up the door for the win, and I think it's a tight game. Like I don't think the Texans defense allows the Chiefs to just pull away.
Yeah, the big thing I also want to see this week, and even though he's looked much slower at times this year, definitely feels like we're watching the end of Travis Kelce. Mm. We still have seen flashes of
he's got maybe the
greatest tight end of all time. So how does Jalen Petrie match up with Kelce? Because that's been a problem for this team in the past, specifically for Petrie. That to me is going to be a big matchup this weekend, just how they handle that one.
Yeah, 100%. And how they handle Steve Spagnuolo's blitzing. They blitz at the sixth highest rate in the NFL. Now, blitzing a lot doesn't mean you're a good defense. The highest blitz rates in the NFL are some of the worst defenses because you want to be able to get pressure in your front four and not blitz a whole lot. So the Texans blitz at the 15th most in the NFL. But Steve Spagnuolo throws stuff at you. Steve Spagnuolo is one of the best defensive coordinators, if not the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. How does the offense handle that? The Texans notoriously have had problems up front, picking up things that they don't necessarily know is coming or is new to them, whatever it might be. They've had issues. Mm-hmm. Do they have issues in the wrong moments? Do they have issues throughout the course of the game? That's where I'm like, oh, boy, I hope Steve is not able to just go in his bag and dial it up.
Well, and he's probably going to and try to, and I don't – that's where I'm so happy the Texans are in the position they're in because it's fun to talk about good football teams.
Hell yeah, and it matters.
It's not fun to talk about teams that are terrible and like they have won, four straight games now, and there's real playoff hope. I still, in like a matchup like this, Spagnuolo versus Kaylee, I don't trust Kaylee. Like I'm not letting this stretch of football change any of my thoughts about what should happen this offseason with Nick Kaylee. I'm still team. He got to go.
But what if he has a good showing against Steve? So you've got to allow it to make you feel a different way if he does have – like you've got to give him the –
Because he's having good showings. I think he's done a really good job the last couple weeks until the ball gets to the 20.
Well, that's for sure.
And that's where that's ultimately where I'm like, I'm not in on this guy.
But
it's awesome if you're good from the 1 yard line to the 21 yard line, but as bad as this team is from the 20 to the end zone, It just doesn't cut it. And it's the reason why the Texans, if they don't make the playoffs this year, it will be that.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
Is that a fireable offense or is that a tweak? Like, if you have,
it's a great question.
If you have a car and you have a flat tire, you don't change all four tires.
You're right.
You fix the one. Do you bring someone in to help him? Do you, whatever it might be, if you like a lot of it, do you keep a lot of it? It's like, if they didn't make the playoffs this year, or if they don't make the playoffs, you're not firing D'Amico Ryans.
No.
Right? But, you know, fireable offense to not make the team, make the playoffs with this team? You can have that argument, but not, like, really, if you take it in a vacuum.
No, and, I mean, now look, they made the playoffs with Bobby Sloak. They won a playoff game, and they got rid of him. So, it's hard to know. It's one where you have to trust D'Amico at this point and just say, okay.
But then you trust them to make the hire.
Yeah, exactly. Do you trust them to make the hire? Do you trust them to make the fire? And I think still fairly right now the answer to that's no. Like,
what do you think, not your opinion.
Yeah.
What's the odds? What's the percentage that Nick Caley's fired this offseason?
At this point, I think it's like 10%.
That he gets. So 90% chance he's.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree, definitely.
Yeah.
And I think right now I'm in the camp of, you got to keep this guy. If for nothing else, he's been good enough. I don't think he's been good. I think he's gotten better. And let's see what happens down the stretch when it matters most.
And that matters.
But also what matters is, can we not reinstall another offense? I think that's part of it. Like weeks 1, 2, and 3, the preseason wasn't taken seriously enough to get these guys into playing mode and knowing this offense and figuring out who your offensive line was. I understand why you don't want to take this preseason so seriously. But here's the counter argument, is that you lose the first 3 games, your offense is a complete mess. You have no idea who your offensive line is. It's taken until week 14 to get your best unit. Mm-hmm. Like, what if you just used a couple more preseason games to figure that out versus getting into shape and learning a few things? And like, don't use weeks 1 through 4 as ramp up. Use the preseason as ramp up and hit the ground running.
Yeah,
better.
No, I agree, and that's where like that it's a strong argument of why you bring Nick Caley back, because then it's you have the system in place. We just haven't seen the improvement, and you know where do you improve? Like, is it like if you just fix your interior offensive line? Because I think you're set at your tackles. You know, you have Ursary and Howard at both the tackles next year. You know, I think you still have to replace probably 2 out of your 3 interior offensive linemen this offseason. I think Ed Ingram can stay. But I look at the center position and I look at your left guard and say you definitely need a left guard because Tytus Howard's not your left guard next year. So you need a left guard and you need either a center or a right guard to help with the push in the middle. Like that to me is like the ultimate, like that's your number one draft priority. If it falls that way for you.
You don't draft by need, though.
That's why I said if it falls for you.
You have to, though, right? At points, we talked about this on the show today.
I think they have a bunch of needs, honestly, in the draft. So I don't think you have to say that you have to go in to get a guard.
I say this because Nick Cassero says we don't draft on need. We always draft best available. But obviously that's not true because you're not. If you have a left tackle, you don't just go draft the best tackle that's on the board. What you do is you trade back because you know drafting for need is necessary.
Yes.
So you do bring that into consideration when you trade back.
Yeah, he just works around it because there's no argument on planet Earth ever that a single second before or after the draft that taking Kenyon Green and trading back for him instead of taking Kyle Hamilton was the right decision. Ever.
And here's the only thing, right.
And I like Kalen Bullock a lot.
The thing is, like, if you thought Kenyon Green was good, which they did,
yeah,
bad evaluation. Your bad evaluation led to a bad decision in the draft. I think the draft decision ended up being bad because the evaluation was bad. They got to get the evaluation down first. It's like when you recruit in basketball, the recruiting isn't the issue necessarily if you get a bad kid. It's the evaluation process that leads to you making the decision to recruit them.
Yeah.
They better draft all offensive linemen.
I agree. It's going to be a fascinating offseason, honestly. And look, what's nice, again, about what the Texans are doing right now is – that's so far out of mind right now because it really was like if you lose any of these games during the Davis Mills stretch or this first game back with CJ, it's like that's really like feel like where the conversation had to turn was to the offseason. Now it's really about what's the best path to the playoffs? Like, are you rooting for the Colts or the Jags this weekend? Are you rooting for the Colts or the Jags this weekend?
Well, the way you line it up, I don't know, but I think the Colts, if – I mean, it's so many ifs. I mean, if they sweep, they have to lose the rest. Mm-hmm. Is that a greater possibility or the Jaguars losing one of their games outside of the Colts?
Yeah.
But that would have to be the Jets or the Titans, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably not.
I mean, no, Tyrod Taylor, you never know. Or Tyrod Taylor. I don't remember what it is these days. But, yeah, I that's
who's,
why.
Who's the Jaguars' other game, though? Two Colts.
Broncos.
Jets. Okay, so they lose the Broncos, but then they'll have to lose one more.
Yeah, they'd have to lose to the Titans.
So I think you have to root for the Colts to win against the Jaguars.
Just to help with
because their schedule, their route to losing seems to be more plausible.
Yeah, so I think...
But that's not happening, right?
I think we're rooting for the Colts this weekend.
But that's not going to happen, right? There's no way that they sweep the Jaguars.
No, but I think for at least this week, you pick the Colts.
Where is...
It's in Jacksonville.
Not that it matters.
It's 1.5-point line. It's Colts favored by 1.5 on the road in Jacksonville. So I'll be rooting for the Colts this weekend.
Who do you think wins that game?
Man. I'm going to say the Colts, but it's really hard because I don't, unfortunately for Daniel Jones, like as much as I don't really believe in him, he's had a great year. He's setting himself up for a big contract.
Broken leg.
Yeah. Like
how much, talk about a gambler's nightmare is.
Yeah.
This is a really good team. The most important position, the quarterback position, has played really well. I think I believe him this year, but now he's playing with a broken leg. How broken? How bad? Like, can he do anything? One video of him in practice looks like he's about to die.
Yeah, like, could you get four quarters out of a game or could it be done on the first play of the game?
Josh Hines Allen coming after his ass.
Yeah, it feels like if someone lands on his leg, he's done.
Oh, yeah. So, it's a gambler's nightmare because there's so much unknown at the most important position.
Yeah, I wouldn't actually bet on this game for that very reason. All right, he is Will Kunkel. Where do they find you?
Find me on YouTube. My channel is Kicking It with Kunkel. Become a member, become a subscriber, and find me on the social media as well.
You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio and catch me on Jeremy and Joe Monday through Friday right here on ESPN 97.5 from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Thanks to our sponsors, Blue Star Tequila, the world's first and only night-harvested tequila. You can find it near you at BlueStarTequila.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Pick against the Chiefs?
Oh, I'm taking the Texans.
I'm taking the +3.5, but I think the Chiefs win.
I'll take the Texans straight
up. Just a Hornets nest.
Screw it. Goodbye.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be.
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.